All right. Well, the title of this sermon is kind of interesting. Are you a Christian atheist? Are you a Christian atheist? We're in our sermon series through the book of Titus, and we're in chapter 1, and I just want to look at one verse this morning. Don't get excited. Sometimes whatever a preacher says, we're just going to look at one verse. People think that means it's just going to be a short sermon. Yes, but not necessarily. Hopefully, it'll just be a normal-sized sermon this morning, though. But are you a Christian atheist? Sounds like an oxymoron like a jumbo shrimp or Microsoft Works or deafening silence. You ever heard that before? Oxymorons, a Christian atheist. An atheist is a person who what? An atheist is a person who doesn't believe in God, and a Christian is someone who believes that Jesus is God. He believes that Jesus is Lord and Savior, God and Savior. And so how can somebody be both an atheist, somebody who doesn't believe in God, and somebody who believes that Jesus is God and Savior, a Christian atheist? Well, we're going to see the answer to that in Titus 1, verse 16. If you remember Titus, the first chapter in Titus, Paul is writing to Titus, who's a young church leader, on the island of Crete, which is in the Mediterranean Sea, the largest island in the Mediterranean Sea off the coast of Greece. And it's like Paul is writing to Titus. The whole first chapter is about appointing elders or church leaders. And it's like Paul is saying, Titus, we've started several churches on the island of Crete, but now they need church leaders. And Titus, you're not going to stay there forever. Titus was planning on moving on and traveling around with Paul. And so Paul was saying, you need to go to the different churches and appoint church leaders. And one of the main jobs of church leaders or pastors or elders is to silence and refute and rebuke false teachers. And then Paul in verse 16 describes false teachers like this. He says, they claim to know God, but they deny him by their works. They claim to know God, but they deny him by their works. That's the definition of a Christian atheist. A Christian atheist is somebody who claims to be a Christian but doesn't live like it, who claims to believe in God but lives as if God doesn't exist. Somebody who claims to be a Christian but doesn't walk and talk the Christian life. And, you know, I've been a part of Acadiana, this community, my whole life. And I'm sad to say there are a lot of people in our community who fit that description, who walk around carrying the name or bearing the name Christian, but not living like a Christian. They don't look like a Christian. They don't act like a Christian. In fact, they live like God doesn't even exist. They live as if God isn't watching. They live as if they will not have to face judgment. They live as if there's no heaven or hell. They live as if God doesn't have the power to kill them or punish them at any moment. They live as if Jesus didn't die on the cross and rise again. They live as if the Bible isn't true, but they call themselves Christians. They call themselves Christians, but live as if they're not a Christian. That's a problem. Because, first of all, when you live like a Christian atheist, God isn't glorified. You don't get to experience the abundant Christian life. And you misrepresent Christianity. When you live like a Christian atheist, God isn't glorified. You know, God created us to glorify him, and that means that he created us to display the superiority of the Christian life, to show what he's like through our actions. And so when you call yourself a Christian but don't act like a Christian, you're not really showing what God is like. You're not glorifying him. That's the purpose of our lives. And so you're missing out on the purpose of your life. Not only that, but whenever you live like a Christian atheist, you're doing some false advertising. We talked about that a little bit last week. When you call yourself a Christian but don't act like it, you're basically saying this is what Christianity is, but you're not actually representing Christianity accurately. And so there are a lot of people who may not like Christianity because of what they see in you or in a Christian atheist who's not actually representing Christianity. And whenever you live like a Christian atheist, probably worst of all, is you don't get to enjoy the Christian life. God has all these promises, peace and joy and comfort, power and strength, all these wonderful blessings, significance, purpose, meaning, all these wonderful blessings and promises that he offers us as Christians, but they are only available to those who are actually living the Christian life, not just because you call yourself a Christian. So you're missing out on all the wonderful blessings of the Christian life whenever you live as a Christian atheist, a person who says they're a Christian but denies Christ by your works, by the way that you live. And so this morning, let's talk about just this one little concept. Let's avoid being a Christian atheist. How can we make sure that that doesn't describe us, that we're not falling into that trap, that we're actually glorifying and honoring God with our lives? Today, I'm going to show you 9 marks of a Christian atheist, and we could probably do more, many more. But as I thought about it and meditated on this topic, as I was preparing this sermon, these were the 9 marks of a Christian atheist that I see in our community. And so 9 marks. Now, let me ask you a question before we get started. As we look at the 9 marks of a Christian atheist, what do you do if you find that one or more of these marks describes you? What do you do if you find that one or more of these marks of a Christian atheist, that you fit the description of a Christian atheist? What do you do? Well, you have 2 choices. Number one, you can repent, which means you can turn, do an 180-degree turn and say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm living in sin. I'm not living the way you want me to, and I'm going to repent and change my life with your help, God. Or you can remain as you are. Those are your 2 choices. And so if you find that you fit the description this morning, thank God for pointing that out to you. And then I want to encourage you, don't remain as you are, but repent. Make a change this morning. I like what Paul said in Acts chapter 3. Not Paul, Peter. He said, therefore repent. He was preaching a sermon. He said, therefore repent and turn back so that your sins may be wiped out, that seasons of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send Jesus, who has been appointed for you as the Messiah. I love that. Repent so that seasons of refreshing can come from the Lord. Man, when you repent and you get right with God, I mean, that's the way to live. That's the best way to live. Lydia tells the kids all the time, the best life is the obedient life. You really will find yourself in the sweet spot of where you're supposed to be in life when you repent and get right with God. So here we go. Christian atheists, 9 marks. Number one, Christian atheists are disobedient to Scripture. They're disobedient to Scripture. You know, at perhaps the most basic level, that's what it means to be a Christian, is to read the Bible and do what it says. This is just what a Christian is. You read the Bible, you do what it says. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. 1 John 5:3, for this is what love for God is, to keep his commands. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. In other words, don't just read the Bible. Don't just listen to the Bible being preached. Do it. Put it into practice. 1 John 2:3-4, this is how we know that we know him. This is how we know that we're Christians. If we keep his commands, the one who says, I have come to know him and yet doesn't keep his commands is a liar and the truth is not in him. You know, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know what that word Lord means? Well, in one sense, it meant God. Jesus Christ is God. That's the way in Greek they translated the Old Testament word Yahweh. They translated it with Lord. But it also means boss. It means master. It means CEO. And so whenever we say Jesus Christ is Lord, that's what we mean. Jesus Christ is boss. He's CEO. He's in charge of my life. And so a Christian is somebody who says Jesus is in charge. I'm going to obey his commands. I'm going to do what he says. But a Christian atheist is disobedient to Scripture. A Christian atheist acts like God is not watching, like they aren't accountable to God. They're knowingly obedient or disobedient to Scripture, obviously disobedient to Scripture, like they know the Bible says don't do that and they do it anyway. The Bible says you need to be acting this way and they don't do it. They knowingly, obviously do all sorts of things that the Bible prohibits. They get drunk. They get high. They lust after people that they're not married to. They look at pornography. They commit adultery. They have premarital sex. These are people who are Christians, call themselves Christians. They lie on their taxes. They cheat on tests. They steal money from their company. People who call themselves Christians but are directly disobedient to Scripture. In other words, a Christian atheist acts like they're in charge. They act like they sit on the throne of their life instead of saying, God, you sit on the throne. You be in charge of my life. That's what a Christian is. Somebody who says, God, you be in charge. And so if you're disobedient to Scripture, then you're not living like a Christian. You're a Christian atheist. Number two, Christian atheists are also uncommitted to church. They're disobedient to Scripture and they're uncommitted to church. You know, I talk a lot about the importance of church because there was a time in our nation's history when everybody went to church on Sundays. It's just what you did. If you didn't go to church on Sundays, people in the community thought you were a really bad person. They probably wouldn't do business with you, probably wouldn't hire you. But today, that's not the case. Today, it's a huge problem among people who call themselves Christians to be uncommitted, unevolved, uninvolved, inactive in church. It's a whole new phenomenon. It's like a new thing in our nation's history. But the church is the body. This was the subject of last Sunday's sermon, Sunday evening. Why make time for church? I talked about how the church is the body of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. It's the pillar and foundation of the truth, it says in 1 Timothy. It is the family of God, the household of God. It's the temple of God. In other words, it's where God shows up big time in the church. The Bible says that Christ loves the church. Christ died for the church and sacrificed for the church. Christ is building the church. Christ feeds and cares for the church. And so how can a person claim to be a Christian but be uninvolved, uncommitted, inactive, not participating in the church? It just doesn't make sense. And so a Christian is one who is committed to participating in the local church. They tithe, they volunteer, they attend on a weekly basis unless something crazy comes up. They love and serve their fellow church members. That's to be the normal Christian life. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25, it says, "Let us watch out for one another." It's talking about Christians in the context of the church. Let us watch out for one another. Now, how are you going to do that? How are you going to fulfill that command if you're not involved in church? "Let us watch out for one another to provoke love and good works." How are you going to fulfill that command? How are you going to provoke other Christians to love and good works if you're uninvolved in church? Verse 25, "Not neglecting to gather together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The reason why the Bible tells us to do those things, to watch out for one another, provoke love and good works, encourage each other, don't neglect meeting together, it's because we need those things. We need those things. And so as a Christian, you should be involved in church. But the Christian atheist is uncommitted, uninvolved, inactive when it comes to church. They act like the church isn't the bride of Christ, isn't the body of Christ. They act like it's not important to God. And sometimes Christian atheists, well, they'll have different excuses. Sometimes they claim that they don't have time for church. Sometimes they claim that there are no good churches. Sometimes they claim that the church, that every church is filled with hypocrites. And so, listen, if you want to find an excuse to not go to church, it's not hard. It's the same thing as exercise. If you want to find an excuse not to exercise, it's not hard. You can find an excuse to not do something. All right, so there's plenty of excuses, and there are different levels to this. Sometimes a Christian atheist only shows up for Christmas and Easter. Sometimes they don't show up at church at all. They just stop going altogether. Sometimes a Christian atheist attends once a month. Sometimes they attend more often than that, but they stay on the very fringe of the church. They don't really build relationships. They don't get involved. They don't contribute at all. So Christian atheists are uncommitted to church. If that's you, if you're uncommitted to church, then you're not living like a Christian. You're a Christian atheist. Number three, the third mark of a Christian atheist is prayerless. Christian atheists are also prayerless. You know, prayer is supposed to be central to the Christian life. In Matthew 6, 5, Jesus said, "Whenever you pray." He didn't say, "If you pray." He was talking about the Lord's Supper. He said, "When you pray." Not if you pray. Matthew 18, 1 says, "Now he told them," Jesus told them a parable on the need for them to pray always and not give up. Philippians 4, 6, "Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." 1 Thessalonians 5, 17, "Pray constantly." Romans 12, 12, "Be persistent in prayer." Why do we pray? Prayer is simply talking to God. You can't sing praises without without prayer. You can't thank God without prayer. You can't sing to God. You can't worship God. You can't ask for God's help without prayer. Prayer is that basic, that essential to the Christian life. We pray because that's the way God blesses us. James 4:2 says that you have not because you ask not. In other words, there's lots of blessings that God wants to give you. Of course, all blessings come from God. There are a lot of ways that God wants to bless you and your family, but unless you ask, you will remain unblessed. God will withhold his hand until you humble yourself and declare your dependence on him. But Christian atheists are, for the most part, prayerless. They live as if there's no God to talk to. They live as if God does not listen, as if God doesn't answer prayers. They don't wake up early to have a quiet time of prayer with God. They don't pray at meals unless other people are watching. When other people are praying in a group setting, they just bow their heads and kind of let their minds wander instead of praying with other people. The only time that a Christian atheist might pray is if they go through a hard time. Then suddenly they become very spiritual. Author John Piper, he wrote this. He said, there is a direct correlation between not knowing Jesus well and not asking much from him. A prayerless Christian is like a bus driver trying alone to push his bus out of a rut because he doesn't know Clark Kent is on board. If you knew, you would ask. Did you get that? Like a bus driver, you get your bus in a rut, it's stuck, and you get out, and you're trying your hardest to push it out, to get it out by yourself, but Clark Kent is on board. There's only one reason you would do that. It's because you don't know he's on board. That's how it is with a Christian who doesn't pray. You must not know God if you're not praying. Because God is ready, waiting, asking us, telling us, commanding us, pray, call on me for help so I can be glorified through your life. So you'll give me glory. I'll help you and you'll give me glory. But we neglect to do that so many times. If you're living a prayerless life, then you're a Christian atheist. Number four, Christian atheists are also joyless. Joyless. They live without joy. Christians are called to be joyful. Joy is one of the fruits of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23. That means that as a Christian, the Holy Spirit indwelling you, living within you, is working to produce joy, which means he's giving you the ability to remain joyful in all your circumstances, whether good or bad. That's God's will for us. You know, three times in the book of Philippians, we're called or commanded to rejoice. Three times in the book of Philippians. Philippians 3:1, it says, in addition, my brothers and sisters, rejoice in the Lord. Philippians 4 commands it twice. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. To rejoice means to walk through life with a celebratory, enthusiastic, cheerful attitude and countenance. To walk through life with a celebratory, enthusiastic, cheerful attitude and countenance. That's what it means to rejoice in the Lord always. You get that? To actually walk through life celebrating. That's who we're supposed to be as Christians. What are we celebrating? Nothing is good in our life. What are we celebrating? We have Jesus. And even if nothing else is going right, we have Jesus, and that's enough to be celebrating about. That's the way we're supposed to be living. But a Christian atheist is joyless. They don't live like the Holy Spirit lives within them. They live as if the only way that they can be happy is if all of their circumstances line up just right. The Christian atheist walks around with a gloomy, sad, negative, depressed, victimized, melancholy, sad attitude and countenance. Now, don't get me wrong, there's a time for everything. There's a time for mourning. There's a time for weeping. But the Christian atheist, that's the norm for them. That's every day. That's all the time. You know, you really give Christ a bad name when you act like that. There's a lady that I work with, and she's a very, very devout Roman Catholic, very spiritual. But she walks around gloomy, sad, all the time. And I haven't rebuked her yet. I don't know if ever we'll have the heart to just tell her, listen, you're not living like a Christian should live. You should have joy. Where's your joy? God commands us, rejoice in the Lord always. Isn't God enough? Isn't Jesus enough for you to be celebrating? But if joy is not your normal demeanor, your normal attitude and countenance, then you're not living like a Christian. You're a Christian atheist. Number five, Christian atheists are also dismissive of God's word. This is a little bit different than disobedient to Scripture. They're dismissive of God's word. You see, Christians believe that the Bible is God's word. We talked about this last week. It's hard for me to go a sermon without mentioning this concept because everything rests on this, the authority of God's word, the authority of the Bible. That's what Christians believe, that the Bible is our authority. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness. When it says it's God breathed, it means that the Scripture, or all Scripture is inspired. It means God breathed. The Bible literally came from the breath of God. It was authored by God. This is God's word to us. And as God's word, we have to treat it as our authority. We have to believe it. We have to do it. We don't get to choose which parts of the Bible to accept and which parts of the Bible to reject. That's not up to us. The Bible is our authority. What we do as Christians is, if this is God's word and God is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our Creator and our Savior, then what we do is we place ourselves underneath the authority of Scripture and we say, okay, the Bible's in charge. The Bible's going to dictate how I live, how I talk, where I go and where I don't go. The Bible's my authority. I believe what it says. I obey what it says. But a Christian atheist is dismissive of God's word. And imagine in your minds, if you've met someone like this, or if you know someone like this, Christian atheist is someone who calls himself a Christian, but they act like the Bible is just a man-made book that they can either take or leave. In other words, they take clear teachings in the Bible, and if they don't like them, they just reject them. They just ignore them. They just dismiss them. For example, the Bible says that people are created, not evolved. But a Christian atheist might be one who says, I don't believe that. The Bible says that there are only two genders. God created them male and female, but a Christian atheist is one who said, yeah, sure, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe that. The Bible says that homosexuality is sinful. Marriage is only the union of one man and one woman for a lifetime. A Christian atheist would say, I don't believe that. The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. Christian atheists would say, that's offensive. The Bible says that hell is real. It's a place of eternal torment. The Bible is very clear about that. And a Christian atheist is one who says, I don't like that. That doesn't sound very loving to me. The Bible says that wives must submit to their husbands. I tried to find some of the most controversial and unpopular teachings in the Bible. That's one of them. The Bible says that wives are to submit to their husbands as to the Lord. A Christian atheist says, I don't like that. In other words, Christian atheists treat the Bible like a buffet. In a buffet, you can pick the parts that you like, the foods that you like, and the stuff that you don't like. You can just leave it there. And that's what Christian atheists do. They are very dismissive of God's word. If there's something in the Bible that they don't like, that makes them uncomfortable, that offends them, rather than submitting to God's word, they demand that the Bible submit to them. They place themselves in authority over the Scripture. But if you're dismissive of God's word, you're not living like a Christian. Amen? Okay, number six, Christian atheists are also confused about the ownership of their money. Confused about the ownership of their money. The Bible says that when it comes to our money, God owns it all. Psalm 24, the earth and everything in it, the world and all its inhabitants belong to the Lord. Everything and everyone and everything you have belongs to God. He's the creator. And then if you're a Christian, you're doubly owned by God because Jesus bought you with his blood. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God with your body. So as a Christian, you belong to God. All that you have is God's. A Christian believes that I'm not an owner of anything. God owns everything I have. I'm just God's manager. And a Christian lives with an open hand and says, God, you've given me all this stuff, but I'm just going to open my hand so that, God, whenever you want it, you can have it. Everything I have, Lord, is really yours. But a Christian atheist is confused about this. They're confused about the ownership of their money. They act like God doesn't exist, like they're the owners of their money. When it comes to tithing or giving the first 10%, they don't do that. They earn way more than they actually need, but what do they do with the extra? Well, they spend it on themselves, on more comforts, more luxuries, instead of giving to those in need. When they get a raise at work, they praise God and say, now how can I spend this extra on myself? Instead of asking God, do you want me to give more? If you're confused about the ownership of your money, then you're not living like a Christian. You're a Christian atheist. Number 7, Christian atheists are also foul with their language. They're foul with their language. You know, Christians are careful to be very pleasing to God with the way that they talk, with their speech, with their tongue. Ephesians 4:29, it says, no foul language should come from your mouth, but only what is good for building up. That word is edifying. For building up someone in need so that it gives grace to those who hear. Ephesians 5:4 says, obscene and foolish talking or crude joking are not suitable, but rather giving thanks. Philippians 2:14, do everything without grumbling and arguing. Colossians 3:8, but now put away all the following, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and filthy language from your mouth. So Christians are very careful to honor God with everything that comes out of their mouth. But a Christian atheist is foul with their language. They act like God isn't listening. They act like God doesn't care what you say. They tell nasty jokes. They use dirty words. They insult people and cut people down. They're very critical of people behind their backs. They gossip about people. If that's you, if you're very foul with your language and loose with your tongue, then you're not living like a Christian. Number 8. The 8th mark of a Christian atheist is that you're weak when suffering. Christian atheists are weak when suffering. You know, Christians have endurance. And we're called to grow in endurance. I like that word, endurance. Romans 12:12 says, be patient in affliction. Affliction is just another word for trials, troubles, hard times. Be patient. That word patient is also translated endure. Endure affliction or endure suffering, endure trouble. And the Greek word for be patient or endure is hupomeno. And it comes from two Greek words, to remain under. To remain under, endure, be patient. And what it means is remain faithful under trials. Remain Christ-like under the weight of trouble. Remain, stay faithful, stay on mission, stay Christ-like under the weight of affliction and trouble and trials. And that's what a Christian is called to do. When they go through hard times, they stay faithful, they stay Christ-like, they stay close to God, they remain on mission, they keep serving the Lord. But Christian atheists are very, very weak when suffering. When they go through times of difficulty, they act like God doesn't exist. Or they change their beliefs about God suddenly. When they go through hard times, they get depressed. They get mad at God. They try to comfort themselves with sin. They self-medicate. They get mean and rude. They try to relieve their pain by stealing or lying or cheating. You know, they try to get out of the trouble, the hard times, the wrong way. They abandon their responsibilities. They stop going to church. If you're weak when suffering, you're not living like a Christian. You're a Christian atheist. Number 9, one more. Christian atheists are also lacking in heart purity. Lacking in heart purity. To be pure is to be morally clean. To be innocent, to be without sin. The Bible calls us to be pure, to be holy. And Christians seek heart purity. And what that means is they don't merely seek to be pure, to be morally clean with their outward actions, visible actions, but they seek purity even in their thoughts and even when they're alone and nobody's watching. That's heart purity. That's what it means to be pure in heart. Matthew 5:8 lists it as one of the Beatitudes. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. In other words, they will have intimacy with God. The pure in heart, not just the pure. Christians go well beyond just purity in their outward visible actions. They seek purity in their thoughts and even when they're all alone. But Christian atheists only attempt to be pure in their visible actions. It's like they act like God isn't watching when they're all alone. They don't fear God. They only fear what people might do to them if people see them acting badly. They only fear what people might say about them. They only fear the consequences of other people lowering their opinion of them. But in their thoughts, in their private lives, they tolerate all sorts of evil. And so they lack heart purity. They don't seek it. Not interested. Don't care. All they care about is being pure when other people are watching. Other than that, doesn't matter. If you lack heart purity, then you're not living like a true Christian. You're a Christian atheist. So what is a Christian atheist? A Christian atheist, Titus 1:16, they claim to know God, but deny him by their works. It's a person who claims to know Christ, but denies Christ by their lifestyle. They claim to be a Christian, but they don't live like it. And I've tried to give you just a few marks of a Christian atheist that I see in our community. Now, how are you doing in the area of Christian atheism? Claiming to be a Christian, are you acting like a Christian? Do one or more of these marks describe you? If so, remember, you have a choice. You can either repent or you can remain as you are. But I want to encourage you to repent this morning. As we come to a close, once you bow your heads and close your eyes, and I would like to encourage you to do some business with God this morning. To recommit your life to Christ if you're a Christian already. You know you're a Christian. You know you're saved. But I hope God is, if your life is out of alignment with his will, I hope he's brought some conviction on you this morning. And I encourage you to repent and recommit your life to him this morning. Total 100% devotion and commitment and dedication. If that's you, why don't you take a moment to do that. Recommit your life to Christ. Give him every area of your life, every part of your heart. Don't hold anything back. With every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe you're here this morning and you're not sure if you're a Christian. Maybe you're not sure that you're saved. Maybe you're not sure if you have a relationship with God. Maybe you know that you've never fully and totally committed your life to Jesus. Sure, you believe certain things about Jesus. You agree with all the doctrines about Jesus, but you haven't committed your life to Christ. You're still living for yourself. Let me ask you a question. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand in just a moment. Nobody looking but me. I just want to pray for you. As your pastor, I want to know where you are with Christ. If you're not 100% sure that you're saved and that you would go to heaven if you died today, if that's you, would you raise your hand so I can pray for you? Amen. God bless you. Amen. Amen. You put your hand down. God bless you. If you haven't raised your hand, I ask one more time. If you're not 100% sure that you're saved, if you died today, you're not 100% sure that you're a Christian, why don't you just raise your hand so I can pray for you? Amen. God bless you. This morning, I want to encourage you to commit your life to Christ. Being a Christian is not just about agreeing with certain doctrines about Jesus. It is that. You need to believe that Jesus is the only way to heaven, that he's the only payment for your sins. He died to pay for your sins so that you wouldn't have to suffer for eternity in hell. And so you need to believe that he died for you and paid for your sins and rose again. But you also need to make a decision that you're going to ask Jesus to come in your life, not just as Savior, but as Lord, as King. And commit your life to him. Hand over the steering wheel of your life to him. Say, Jesus, I'm going to be living for you from now on. You died for me. I want to live for you, Jesus. I encourage you to make that commitment right now in your heart. Say, Jesus, I want to commit my life to you. I want you to use me for whatever you want, Jesus. Just take a moment and pray that in your heart. Ask Jesus into your life to save you. Once and for all, to change you and to make you into the kind of person that he wants you to be. Would you keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed just for a moment? If you just prayed that prayer, if you're just asking Jesus to come in your life to save you, if you're just giving your life to Christ right now, I'm not going to ask you to do anything to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you. I just want to know what God is doing in your life. When I count to three, if you just prayed to commit your life to Jesus, once you lift up your hand, one, two, three. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Anybody else? You just prayed to commit your life to Christ. Now is the time. Listen, commit your life to Jesus today. You don't know if you'll make it to tomorrow. Today could be your last day, and if you die without Christ today, you will spend eternity in hell. Give your life to Jesus. It's the best life. You're missing out. Anybody else? You can just raise your hand. Nobody's looking but me. You just prayed to commit your life to Christ. Amen. Amen. Let me pray for you. Listen, before you go, keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. Before you leave this morning, I want to encourage you. Would you put on your, if you prayed to commit your life to Christ, put that on your connection card for me. So I can pray for you, so that I can encourage you. Even if you didn't raise your hand, maybe you're too embarrassed to raise your hand, put it on your connection card so I can pray for you and encourage you. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together, Lord. Thank you for working in this room this morning. Lord, thank you so much for saving us, even though we didn't deserve it, Lord. None of us are perfect. We're all sinners. Thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, for loving us unconditionally. Every day we fail you, but you continue to love us and forgive us. Thank you, Lord, for giving us the Holy Spirit and the Word of God and a church with people who love us and care for us and encourage us. We pray, Lord, for those new believers this morning who are giving their lives to you. We pray, God, that you would help them, Lord, to grow in Christ, to begin reading their Bibles, to begin praying, to get committed to church, to begin praising you, to begin putting you in charge in every area of their life. We just pray for their growth. Lord, we pray that you continue to use us in our church for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be a place where authentic Christians gather and worship and serve. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 Thank you all for coming this morning. Hope to see you all this evening. Y'all have a great afternoon. God bless you.